welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
So, yeah, I'm going to need some help. Okay, this one is a little bit more active. I don't think it's my glasses are not clean. I think it's the haze. Praise God. So, I need those young people. Can you just sort of come down here and join me at the front here? Don't worry, it's not too scary. You're not going to do anything, you know, outrageous-ish. Thank you, Elizabeth. Hallelujah. Come on, bravest young person in church. Thank you, guys. Come on, there's more of you. It's not that bad. Honest. Bring an older person with you if you're scared. Come on. Thank you, Harry. Well done, mate. Come on. You do look slightly worried. You should. No. It's all right. Okay. Oh, thanks, James, for bringing in the extras, bringing in the recruits. Now, it's not just these guys, but you've got to help them as well. Okay? There's a little bit of interactivity. Let's break one of our rules. Ooh. Yeah. And so that they can definitely see you in the back rows, very carefully you can stand towards the front of the stage. Normally we don't let anyone on the stage because of all the wires and equipment. Yeah, it is a bit of a wall. But this morning you can stand on the stage, just there. Right. Okay, so you can see them, because that's going to be quite crucial in a minute. Now, there is one thing we do at Friday Club, and that's when we have to check whether everybody is listening. And there is a question that I asked, to which the answer is, we were born ready. Do anyone know what the question is? Nathan, are you ready? Yes, it's not a hard question. So when I say that, I didn't want to say those words, because I know there's some enthusiastic people out there. All right, but when I say those three words that he just said, that I'm not repeating because of enthusiastic people, but the last word is ready, okay? The first word is are, and in the middle is you. All right, when I say those, you have to say, we were born ready, all right, in a big rrr type voice. Your best rrr voice, Josh, okay? All right, are you ready? They were louder. Now, I know there's more of them and they're big, hairy and ugly and stuff. But you're on the stage. That makes a massive difference. So there needs to be a little bit more. You can even do a bit of sky punching. Dust don't hurt the sky. Ready? Are you ready?
We were born ready!
Hey, yeah, you're pretty good. You weren't so good over here. You two might have been, but you know, you guys, you were brilliant. Maybe they'll come on board later. You know, there's always a reason why people sit over to the side, isn't there? You ready?
We were born ready.
Okay, right. Now we need to do some acting for this as well, okay? You're going to do your acting, but they have to do it first, and then you do it back to them. All right? Don't get scared. They're not real. Oh, yeah, they are, but it helped. Okay, so the first one is if you hear me say a word like shock or shocked, you've got to look like you're really shocked. Something awful has happened and you go into shock. So I'll just say the word for now. It's going to be in the story in a minute. And then when they look shocked, you look shocked. You might be shocked at how shocked they look, so it's easier for you. Okay, shocked. Yeah, we can begin to see the actors coming out. I'm loving the open mouth. Yeah, I'm loving the look. Okay. So, but you're all smiling. They're rubbish. You say shocked, they say, you go shocked, they go shocked. Are you ready? Shocked! Actually, that's quite scary. Okay, the next word, completely different word. You can think of a different type of action to do. And this one is going to be worried. So have a quick think. And then you lot can look worried that they're worried. All right, worried! And you're smiling. You are definitely happy. No more happiness, worried. Yeah, look, Kate's looking very, very... Oh, Richard, that looks grumpy, dear. Oh, sorry, you're not doing anything. I told you, think holiday camp. With Jesus. Right. Worried. Yeah, that's pretty good, pretty good. All right, the next one, another really easy one. Maybe a bit more dramatic. Think of how am I going to use my legs? Probably not like that. But this word is joy. Okay, so when I say joy, you look joyful. You can act a little bit as well. Joy! Yeah, look at James. He almost looks joyful there. It's a very picture of the angel Gabriel. In shorts. How do you know the angel Gabriel doesn't wear shorts? It's summer. He wears his shorts. He might have even been on the beach yesterday. Who knows? Right. That's pretty good. You can act, but then you freeze, because we have got one which involves motion. Yeah. This word, and to go with them, because you're kind of my audio-visual team, you see. You're adding all the audio and visual effects to what's coming up in a minute, okay? But the last one, we've got a little boost with the audio. And I want to put you in the picture here. You've got to go back to before you were born. All right? I was born, because it's a long time ago. But we're going back to before you were born. We're going back to the 1970s. Think orange and brown and purple, flowers, big flares, and disco dancing. Okay? If you don't know about the 1970s, it's a long time ago. It's a period of history. You'll do it at school. Okay? And one of the things they did was disco dancing. If you can't think what disco dancing is, just think granddad dancing. I'm brilliant at it. All right? Yeah, that's pretty good. You've been watching your dad. Now. This is just insulting the entire church. I'll turn up next week, there'll just be three people. I've got rid of all the pastoral work. They've all left. No. So, yes, the word that's going to go with the disco dancing is going to be party. Okay, and when I start party, my kindly assistant at the back, just giving you a clue so you're awake, my kindly assistant at the back will give you some 1970s disco music to dance with at the party. Let me just remove these two, because I know you two are enthusiastic, and I wouldn't want you to send anything too wild. Okay. So, the word's going to be P-A-R-T-Y, all right? And when I say that, he'll play the music at the back, and you can do your best ever disco dancing. Are you good at disco dancing? You will be today. Just follow Bella, all right? She's ready. Look, she's ready. Look at that face. Bella's going to do disco dancing. Well, she might not now, because I've got everybody looking at you. Okay, are you ready? It's just very short. Your best moves or your best granddad's moves, one of the two. Or your best Pastor Paul Abel moves. Yeah, I know that. You're just thinking, oh, I can go really weird then. I saw that. I saw that go through your mind. Okay, let's party! Okay, you got that one. That's not bad, Harry. That's the quiet, reflective disco dancing. You're very brave, just standing up there with me talking. It's always worrying. Right. Okay. I'm going to need you in a minute. So you have approximately 3 minutes and 52 seconds to just sit on the edge of the stage and take a rest while I introduce. It's only 3 minutes and 47 seconds now, but... So... I'm going to tell you about three stories. A lot of you will have heard these three stories. Three stories about something lost. But just before we get into the three stories, which is what this lot are going to help me with, I want to just show you what was going on when Jesus actually told these stories. Because that always makes a difference. Who was he actually talking to at the time? All right? So what? Because everybody knows the three lost stories. Anybody want to shout out one of the lost stories? Coin. Coin, that's one. Sheep and son. Yeah, that's the ones. He told them all at the same time, and he told them to a group of people that were listening to him. And that's really, really important, actually. Now, everything that Jesus means lasts forever, so it means something to us. But sometimes you get more about what it means to us when you discover who he was talking to in the first place. And it says here, this is Luke chapter 15, but don't worry about going to it. A group of tax collectors and sinners came close to Jesus to listen to him, But both the Pharisees and the teachers of the law murmured against him. They were saying, this man receives sinners and even eats with them. All right, so he's got a crowd of people. Tax collectors, nobody likes them. But in Jesus' day, they work for the enemy. So there are a bunch of rich people, generally, who people think are ripping them off. Okay? They're not a well-loved bunch of people by anyone. And certainly, the righteous ones, the Pharisees, didn't appreciate it. Brought in friends, not really friends, people that they knew, their own Jewish race, who were working for the enemy. But alongside them, Luke, who wrote this down, says there's a whole bunch of sinners. And by that, he meant people that weren't living according to the way God said we should live. All right? Is that simple enough? But the Pharisees, which were a group of people from the Jewish temple, and the scribes, who were the people that wrote down all the law, they were really angry with Jesus. Now, in the English, it just says he receives them. In the Greek, the word means he receives them into friendship. So it wasn't just that he sat down with them. They're saying, you're even friends with them. You go and have meals with them. Don't you realize what kind of people these are? You need to be here. If you're this son of God or Messiah or a decent rabbi, you need to be with us religious people in church. Well, they said temple. In church, listening to us. That's what they were saying. And Jesus, instead of getting into an argument, just tells some stories. Jesus would probably got thrown out quite a lot of churches because he doesn't preach from the word very often. He's always telling stories. Just a thought. Anyway, so it says Jesus taught them this parable. Anybody know what the first one is? You've already said the three? No, it's the sheep. If you were going to say sheep, you are correct. Gain 1,000 bonus points. The person with the most bonus points gets to hoover the floor. Now, I like to think it was a coincidence that your sister is sitting next to the sound desk, and the thought of Joel cleaning caused her to celebrate. Anyway, in this story, I'm going to need your help. So up you get. Because when you lose something, you don't get a very nice feeling. So often when you lose something, at first you're in shock. Oh, some of you were so slow. You three were brilliant. You were on the ball there. Once you got over the shock, you get worried. Am I going to find it again? That's really good, that one. I'm very worried. Okay, so that's where our story begins. And the story begins with a shepherd. And it says that he's got 100 sheep. Now, when Jesus told parables, the things that are in the parable always relate to the people he's talking to and us today. So if he's talking about sheep and a shepherd, it means he's talking about people in some way. He doesn't tell them the answers. He just tells them the story and leaves them to work it out. But he tells this story of the shepherd counting up his sheep one night. Un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq. I don't know why he was speaking French. He was a very cosmopolitan Israeli shepherd. Ein, zwei, no, that's just not working. Anyway, he's counting up all the sheep and he gets to 99. And he thinks, that's wrong. There should be 100. I'm going to have to count them again. So he counts them all again and it's still 99. And in the story, Jesus says that the shepherd realizes one of them is lost. And when you discover something is lost, you're usually in shock. And then he might have looked a bit worried. What's happened to the sheep? What's happened to the sheep? So he's got to go looking. Don't get it stuck on your face with a worried look, though. So he goes looking for the sheep. He leaves the 99. And in the scripture, it says he leaves them in open pasture. He doesn't leave them where they're going to be eaten by wolves. I've heard people say that sort of thing. He leaves them safe. Okay, he would have had every shepherd in that day and age, usually had, especially if you had 100 sheep, you had helpers anyway. Okay, so he left those 99 in the care and he went to look himself for the one that was missing. He was really concerned about the one that was missing. He got 99 good ones. One's stupid enough to get lost. You know, you win some, you lose some. It's like when you take children on a school trip. I never understood why the parents weren't happy when we said we brought most of them back. That's a majority. Anyway, he goes looking and he finds this sheep. So it says he returns back with the sheep, carrying it on his shoulders, full of joy. That's good. That's pretty joyful. In fact, he brings it home and he gathers his friends and his relatives. Relatives? I've lost the ability to read. He gathers his friends and relatives and tells them, "Rejoice with me, for I found the sheep I'd lost." In other words, he throws a party! But he doesn't stop there. Jesus goes on. You like that bit? You guys are good. I'm so glad I got you helping me. All right, so then he goes to tell him another story. This time he says, not a man, not a shepherd, but this time it's a woman. Jesus was always brilliant at using women in his stories. Other rabbis wouldn't normally use them so much. He didn't have so much credit, but Jesus was about restoring women, and as well as men. So he says, well, what about a woman with 10 coins? Now, these coins, you know, they're not just a pound coin. You know, if everybody, mind you, if James lost a pound coin, he'd be searching from now till next Sunday. But this is a 20 cents coin. It wasn't one of the 20 cents. 20 cents. So it's euros, 20 cents. But I where that came from. I probably got given it as a pound coin. It wasn't one of these. It was something very valuable. These 10 coins, the ladies would often wear them around their head. It was her, beg your pardon, it was her whole family wealth. So if you lost one, you were going to look for it. So the story that Jesus tells says the woman realizes she's only got 9 coins. So she's lost one. So at first she's in shock. Then she realizes, oh my goodness, that coin's worth so much money. And she gets really worried. And in the story, she begins to search for it. Says in the original that she swept the floor. And you sort of think, well, what's she sweeping the floor for? Because it would have been a dirt floor. And she's hoping to, out of the dust, to get the coin to chink along a bit. So she sweeps the floor. In here, it just says she searched everywhere. And she took a lamp. Why did she need a lamp? It wasn't dark, but those houses had very small windows and doors. So even if it was daylight outside, it would be dark inside the house. So she's looking. In other words, she's really searching. She's going for it. She's turning the house upside down, looking for this coin. Not a 20 cents euro, but something really, really valuable. And it says, search the house everywhere until she found it. So she was full of joy. And then it says that she gathered her friends and her neighbours and said, rejoice with me, because I've found the coin I lost. So they had a party. I'm loving the chair dancing out there. It's good. It's kind of energetic, but relaxed. It's a good job I got you lot to do proper dancing.
Yeah.
Were you alive in the 1970s?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It's funny, you only look 11. Right. So he tells them that story. And he tells them the story of the sheep. Because he's addressing the murmuring and the grumbling. Because the people are saying, why are you spending time with sinners? And he says, in effect, in the story, I'm not just spending time with them. I will go looking for them. I'm going to search them out. You 99 that think you don't need me because you're right, I'll leave you here, safe, but I'm going for the lost. And he lives in us now. The woman is turning her house upside down. Jesus is saying, I'm like that woman. I'm going to turn the place upside down. I'm going to be sweeping it clean. I'm going to have a light where I need it. I'm going to go into the darkest of places because I'm going to find these tax collectors and these sinners that you're talking about. But they haven't quite got that yet, so he tells them another story. Lost coin, lost sheep, lost son. All right, don't forget the acting. Don't lose concentration. I might just throw one in there at any moment, like shock. Yeah, you see? Let's try these guys on the end. Are you ready with a shock? Shock! That looks much more like worried. Are you okay there? You could always sit with Gemma here if you're getting a bit too worried. Or you could even just sit down if you're really, really worried. Now, are you ready?
Oh,
dear. Well done, Sam. I think for that, you can have the 20 cents. There you go. You can spend it when you're next in Germany. Now, if you can still get anything for 20 cents. Right, let's try that again. Are you ready?
Yes, we are ready.
Excellent. Hey. Well done, but I've run out of coins. So, most of us know this story. I'm not going to dwell a long time on the story, but basically, and I'm sure a lot of you know this story, but just to remind ourselves, Jesus describes a father who's got two sons. They're adults, they're not children, and there's one that's older than the other, which is quite normal unless they're twins. And the youngest one goes to the father, and he's had enough of living at home. And he says to his father, I want my share of the inheritance now. You normally only get your share of the inheritance when you're dead. So effectively he's saying to his father, I wish you were dead. I want my inheritance. But the father doesn't deny it. And he lets him have his share of the inheritance. But the young son doesn't use it very well. He goes off, leaves the family home, goes to another country and just spends it on riotous living, as it says in another translation. You can make up your own mind what the riotous living was. But the father realizes his son is lost. And in a sense, the father is in shock. Yeah, that's good. And I should think he's pretty worried about what the son's getting up to. Well, it all goes wrong. He loses all of the inheritance. Everything that the father's given him, he just wastes it. It's spent. It's gone. He's got nothing left. It's like dad gives you all your pocket money and you spend it all on sweets in 10 minutes. It's gone. Sorry, was that a real story? In desperation, he ends up getting a job feeding pigs. In fact, he's so desperate, he wants to eat the pig food. That's enough to give anybody a shock. In fact, I'd be quite worried about it. Someone eating pig food, pig swill, as it says here. Oh, he's so hungry. Have you ever seen pigs? They wallow in the mud. The food's all in the mud. And he's so hungry and he's so desperate. The food trampled in the mug and what comes out of pigs' bottoms, he fancies that food. Lovely. Especially if you had some chips, but he didn't. So he comes up with a plan. He says, right, my father's servants are better off than this. He comes up with a plan which really is about manipulating the father, manipulating his dad into saying, take me back. And he says, the plan can be, I'll say to him, take me on as one of your servants and I'll serve you. Because he's thinking, if I'm one of my dad's servants, he's pretty wealthy, I'm going to get fed, I'm going to get clothed again. And he comes up with this line that he's going to say when he says to his dad, Father, I've sinned before heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Take me on as one of your hired servants. So he sets out for home. Let's just have a temporary extra actor. Nathan, you'll do. You're a good actor. Could you just stand there in the spotlight, please? Sort of there-ish. That's Nathan, I mean, yes. What did I call you? Oh, two Nathans. Oh, yes. You're spared. Right, you are supposed to be the younger son, and you're coming back, and you're pretty miserable because you're not really sure what the father's going to want. And this, if Jesus is talking to tax collectors and sinners, that's who this guy is. Jesus is saying, you might feel like one of the rejected. You might feel one of the acceptable. You might think the only way to come back to God is with your head down and be absolute miserable, and you're just going to be a servant. But he blows that out of the water by telling the rest of the story. I mean, the Father in the story is the Father God in heaven. It's also Jesus, because Jesus is telling them, this is what I'm doing right now. Because the Father in the story, which is the Father in heaven, or it can be Jesus if you prefer, and Jesus is referring to himself really here, he's looking out for anyone that's making a turn. Remember? He's looking for the coin. He's looking for the sheep. And as soon as he sees the Father in the story, there's a Hollywood cinematic moment where the son's still trudging and the father runs down the street towards the son. This is my best. Fast forward. Grabs him. Hugs him. His shoes come off and everything. It says he kisses him, but I'll spare you that. Have your shoe. He's so delighted to have him back. But he doesn't. And the son, come here, son. The son starts to say, Father, I've sinned against you. You could say that. Father, I've sinned against you. And he's about to launch into his whole thing about I'm not worthy enough. And he realizes the father's going to cut him off anyway. And he realizes what a pathetic line. He's trying to manipulate the father still into giving him stuff. And he just renders speechless at the grace of the father. And the father calls his servants to get some equipment. I have some equipment. Hello. And his father says, get the robe. We have a robe. Okay, I'm never very good at props. This was the best that was available at short notice. The best robe. I don't have many robes indoors. Have you got any robes? Bath robes. But this was the best. This was quality. And you're probably going to sweat to pieces with this on, but you know, just bear it and we'll mop the puddle up later. And so the father puts this robe on the son. Yeah, you can put your arms into sleeves as well if you like. Oh, perfect fit. Now, why does he give him the robe? Because the son's got this attitude, I'm just not worthy, I'm not good enough. He's got a very low opinion of himself, and God's saying, no, you're coming back as my son. He's given him everything that was his share, and now he's giving him more. He's given him the robe. The robe signifies that he is to be honored. It was the most honorable thing he could do. It's his best robe. The father actually honors the returning boy. When you go to Jesus, he doesn't, once you've got a shower, I'll let you in. He honors you for coming to him. He then grabs something else. It was a ring for his finger. Here it is. I don't know if this is your size. And he placed the ring on his finger. The ring was a signet ring. It said, you have the authority. You have my authority. This was no servant. Hang on, we'll put it around there. That might help. He wasn't being restored as a servant. The father was saying, you have all my authority. You're back in the family and you can do whatever I would do. You have my authority. Remember, Jesus is telling these tax collectors and these sinners this. He's actually also telling the Pharisees. He's wanting them to listen as well. They're the 99 sheep sitting in a field. He's saying, I'm here for you too. And so he gives him a ring, and then he gives him one final thing. A pair of sandals. But we do have the technology. Because we just have an unusual pair of sandals. And he puts the sandals on his boy's feet. Thanks, Nathan. I bet you're so pleased. I didn't ask you now. So, you'll remember this picture. Why does he give him sandals? Because in that day, in that culture, servants went barefoot. The sons wore shoes. The sons wore sandals. It was another affirmation. This is my son. So the father is no longer in shock. He's no longer worried. In fact, he's full of joy. And so it says here, he gathers everybody together, just like the others did. And he says, let's celebrate because this son of mine who was dead is alive. He was lost, but now he's found. And they began the celebration party. You guys are good. I'm loving the enthusiasm. Well done, well done, well done. Just stay there, son. Then Jesus throws a little bit extra into the story. Who knows what happens next? Any of you know what happens next in this story? The story of the lost son or the prodigal son. There's something else happens after the party or during the party. Yes?
The older son goes outside and his dad comes and then he complains. And...
yeah, you got it. Right, the older son comes home. Who's the older son? He's all the people sitting there thinking you shouldn't be messing around with sinners. You shouldn't be with these rejected people. You shouldn't be with the rich. You shouldn't be with the poor. You need to be in church. They come and they find out that the Lord of the universe has organized a party. There truly is a party going on upstairs. There's a party going on here every Sunday. It's a celebration. Oh, I could have had the music, but it's good that you didn't, because it would have interrupted. I used the word. I'm quite shocked that he didn't do it. Oh. But the older son is angry. And he says to a group of boys hanging around, there's always groups of young boys hanging around in towns like that when the adults are having a party. Let's get together. And he says, what? He calls one of the boys over and says, what's going on in there? And he says, the boy says to him, your brother's come home and your father is having a party. About a quarter to ten. Come to my... I'm very chic. Now, but the older son is not happy. Just like the religious people weren't happy. Just like if we're not careful, we can be when God shows his outrageous favor and grace to somebody who's really messed their life up. It's almost like, come on, what about my blessing? How come you're doing that for them? Do you know who we are then? We're the Pharisees. We're the religious ones. We need to be the younger son. The younger son, when the father said to him and put all this stuff on him, could have said, no, I'm not good enough. I need to be your servant. I need to serve you. I need to do stuff. But he didn't. He was actually, maybe for the first time ever, humbled by the grace of God. And instead of fighting God being so graceful to him, he accepted it. If you think you're not good enough and you're saved, you're fighting the father. If you're saved, if you're born again and you think that you've not got a calling and a purpose and a ministry, you're fighting the Father's grace. It's not who you are, it's who he is and what the Son has done for you. So, brilliant. Wow, that's very good. You guys are really brilliant. You've just been sitting there, you've been doing everything, and now you're quiet. What an amazing bunch of children we have in this church. So, and we're coming to the end now, if you're wondering how long. And he gets really angry. He says, this son of yours, he's just wasted everything. Notice he says, this son of yours. It's one of his brothers. But now this son of yours, he's wasted all your money. And now he's come home and now you're doing this. You've even killed the fatted calf. And the father says to him, he uses a Greek word, technon. The Greek word for son is chios. But he uses the word technon. Technon means my dear son, my wonderful child. Even though this son is grumpy, this son has shown him up in front of the whole village by rejecting him. In that culture, for the father to go outside and find the son was terrible. You praying? But the father, and the son says, why haven't I ever had anything? And the father, who is Jesus, looks the Pharisees in the eyes and says this. My son, you are always with me, and everything that is mine is yours. He says this to the Pharisees and everybody else. He calls them dear children. Sometimes we're used to him being angry with them. He was passionately loving the Pharisees as well. They're not the bad guys. They're people. Come and rejoice, because this brother of yours who was dead has now come to life. He was lost, is found. The older son couldn't receive the grace for himself that the younger son had received in being dressed up in a red ring, a raincoat and two shopping bags. I mean, a robe, a ring and shoes or sandals. He couldn't go for that. He knew better. And the story dramatically ends. Lots of people wonder, you know, is the story missing? Was there more to the story? Why does it just end? We never find out what happened to the older brother. Did he ever go in the house? We do know what happened. Because the father was there with his staff of authority to, pleading to his son to come in. Pleading with those present who thought they were righteous already. They took the stick from him and beat him with it. It was the cross. That was actually the end. The son didn't repent. The son didn't turn around. Because Jesus goes out looking for the coin. The shepherd goes out looking for the sheep. And the father is looking and waiting for the son. But still, everyone has a choice. Right, you guys can return to your seats, and then I've got a couple minutes and I've finished. Give them a big round of applause. Do you want to take your shoes with you? So, you can take that with you, Bella. Look at this, just to finish. There was a question that when Martin and I were here at the coffee shop this week that someone asked us, and it's actually here in the Gospels. The question was about, are only a few going to be saved? It was slightly turned around and said, is everybody going to be saved? And Jesus doesn't directly answer the question in a way, because Jesus always says, it's not about those who've not heard, it's about the fact that you have. It's always like that with Jesus. He says, it's not really your business about how I handle everybody else. What is really your business is how you relate to me. And he said, yes, I will search you out. I will come looking for you. I will never let you just drop off the edge and I won't care. I will always be there. But he's also said this, because it's not, there is a response. Jesus, someone asked him, Lord, are only a few going to be saved? And Jesus replies, struggle to enter through the narrow door, because I tell you clearly that many who will try to enter will be unable to do so. It's a bit of a shock. The word he uses, struggle, is what the Greek athletes were doing in the games. It's when you're trying to win a race. It's when you're wrestling and you're trying to win the fight. It's a real push through, fight for it word. And he's saying, I will come for you. I will be there for you. But in return, you've got to push through. It's not just that I've found you and now you can fly around with the angels. Or even have a party. Oh, okay. There is going to be one of those kind of celebrations when we're saved, but it's not all just that. It's about, we've got to push on. We've got to be determined. We've got to be like the athletes. You don't win medals in competitions if all you do is sit and eat pizza. You just get fat and unhealthy. Even as a Christian, if all you do is sit and eat pizza, you will get fat and unhealthy. And that's naturally and spiritually. So Jesus says, struggle to enter in. Push on through. Strive for it. Run the race. Fight for it even. The word literally means fight for it. Wrestle for it. Agonizomai, it is. We get the word agony from it. Maybe that helps. You know, you're pushing yourself so much, everything's aching because you're determined to take hold of that. He has the initiative, but we have to respond. This is so important. I tell you clearly. Let's read the next bit. Once the owner of the house has risen and shut the door, those on the outside will bang on it saying, Lord, open up for us. But he will answer you, I don't recognize you. Then you will reply, we ate and drank with you. We went to Kingdom Faith Church. No, he didn't actually say that bit. But. And you taught in our streets. And he will answer you, I don't acknowledge you or where you come from. Keep away from me. This is referring to the end of times. You don't get to be a Christian by hanging out with Christians. You don't get born again by going to church any more than you become a hamburger when you go to McDonald's. There is a decision and a determination. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not saying that you will fall down and that you're not saved. I'm just telling you what Jesus said here. Because this idea that everybody is saved is dangerous because there's no longer any impetus to see people saved. If everybody gets saved, let's tell them about the Lord because it's amazing to be saved here and now. And it's about his kingdom come. That's good. But you lose that impetus that they are lost. We've got to go looking. We've got to go searching. We are the body of Christ now. That's not to say that Jesus isn't searching as well. He is. But now we're his body. There will be tears and grinding of teeth for those who are left on the outside. I don't really know what the weeping and grinding of teeth is, but I know I don't want to find out. You see, when the ship is sinking, it's no good telling everybody, you'll be all right. You need a savior. You need a ship. You need another boat to come that they can get onto. It doesn't matter how nice you are to people, the boat's still going to go down. It doesn't matter how much you reassure them, or whether you sing hymns, or whether you play music on the deck of the Titanic. When the ship goes down, the people drown. And the ship is going down. And they need a savior. And we have the message that saves them. Amen. We'll stop there. But I don't know, maybe we should party?
Do it again. Boys will be boys. Better let them have the talk.
I think, you know, just to embarrass everyone, because it's only fair. We should have, you know, the children did it on stage, didn't you guys? So do you think everybody in the room should at least stand and do the dance? If they're capable of standing, obviously. Some have just discovered they're not anymore. No, I don't want to embarrass you, but, you know, you can do a bit of chair dancing. But let's at least, most of us, do what they do in heaven. When someone says yes to Jesus. I mean, if everybody's going to say yes, there's no point. But they know that someone's been rescued. So whenever someone is rescued, whenever someone says yes to Jesus, in heaven and in amongst God's people, there is a party!
Girls will be girls. Cute ponytails and curls. Must put an end to the stress and strife. I think I want to live the sporty life.
I just thought it was a dance move. I tell you what, at the very, very end, we'll play the whole song. And if you wish to dance, you can. That was some movement. That was like professional, Suzanne. Oh, hallelujah. So, let's celebrate and let's take the message But remember, if you don't yet know Jesus, he's there for you. He's searching you out. If you've only just been saved, and I know some of you have only just been saved, he's for you. He's dressing you up in shopping bags. No, what that means is he's saying, don't think you've got to serve me. Don't come to me with a servant mentality. Don't come begging and crawling and crossing yourself and all that stuff. Come and be my child. Amen. Come and be my child. You see, we do serve God, but we serve God because we're his children and we choose to. Not because we're just told, do that, do that, do that, do that, do that. We're his children. It's precious, 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 precious children. And whenever you feel, I don't know if I'm good enough, take that thought, stick it in the shopping bag, put it in the bin, put it in the green bin, because it's going to the dump. You don't need those thoughts. They don't belong to you. They come from either your own doubts or even from the enemy, shooting little fiery darts. And that's why the word says, take up your shield to extinguish the darts of the evil one. He's always shooting darts. Pew, 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 pew. More like a six shooter, but reject them. Amen, amen. You're his child now. Hallelujah. You're his child now. And he is the most perfect, perfect father. Hallelujah. Yours might not have been. Yours might have been good, yours might have been bad, but God, the Father, is perfect. And just as Jesus sat there, and he said to all of them, look, Pharisees, I'm here for you. You're like the elder son who's angry because the tax collectors and the sinners are all sitting here listening to me. You're angry because I want to have friendship with them. I want to be in fellowship with them. But actually, he says, we all need to celebrate together. Because those who were lost have been found. You know, the son that was dead and is alive, that son was dead to him before he left. Their relationship was already dead. Because he went to his father and knew that he was saying to him, I wish you were dead, I want everything. And then he went with it. Their relationship had already broken down. That's why he was so excited. It wasn't just that he'd come back, but also the relationship that was dead was alive. And that's what Jesus wants for every tax collector, every sinner, every person who's not respectable, every person who is respectable, everybody who's sick, everybody who's not sick, everybody who is ashamed, everybody who doesn't feel ashamed, those that think they're doing all right, and those that think they're not doing anything but right. He says, come on, we can have fellowship together. Amen? Yeah. Have a great week. See you next week for baptisms. Be totally blessed. If you do want to give your life to Jesus this morning and you haven't, come and see me, because we will then celebrate with you because you're beginning the new adventure. Oh, yeah. Next week's baptisms. The week after, we're going to have a beach picnic. So just to forewarn you, that's the 30th. We'll all go down the beach again. Yeah. And we can go in the sea again. And we'll have a picnic together. Have a fantastic week. Bless you all.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.